Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for an opportunity to come and worship you this morning and ask in Jesus' name that as we come to worship you, as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your bulletin, there's a sheet. On one side, it says sermon notes. It's a fill in the blank, and there's plenty of space to write other notes or other things or thoughts that God is kind of giving to you this morning. On the other side is a weekly devotion. If you'd like to follow along this week through some scriptures, there are some directions in which you can follow. If you're listening online, those will be in a PDF file for you to download and follow as you listen. Each Sunday as we come to worship God. We come to praise God's name, to adore God as a community of faith. We look, when we do this, we look for God to speak to us. We should each be preparing to hear what God would say to us each Sunday morning. And instead of waiting until you get through the doors, until you're seated in the pews, I would begin in the morning with a word of thanks to God, asking God, what is it that you want to say to me this morning? How is it that I can worship you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? When you come to church, the overall theme may be the same focus for each week, but the specifics we walk away with are often different. They're according to the needs that we each have, according to what God is dealing with each of us on, each according to where we are in this moment of time. And it comes down to this. Are we listening for and are we following the voice of God? Are we listening for and following the voice of God? Now, as we enter into Lent, this 46-day period, we're taking some time not just to remember Jesus, but to hear Jesus in his own words, as he spoke to his disciples some 2,000 years ago, and as he speaks to his followers today. He is, in his own words, teaching them. More than teaching them about God of creation, more than reminding the people of the prophetic words that were uttered some 400 years before him, more than just talking about how one day God will return. Although he is speaking about all of these things. This young rabbi is performing some monster miracles. Feeding thousands at a time with a handful of loaves of bread and some fish. Healings that have not been seen since the time of Elijah. Setting people free from not just their physical ailments, but freeing them from their sins so that they can chase after God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. This young rabbi is teaching and preaching with an authority that hasn't been heard since the time of the prophets, which has upset the balance of power in the religious circles of authority. John, one of Jesus' closest friends and his disciple, writes about Jesus' life, recording for us some of the events and some of the specific things that Jesus said while he was with them. And Jesus has this series of statements, seven of them, starting with the words, I am, followed by a description of who Jesus claims to be. I could tell you I am the pastor of the church and you would understand me to be who? The pastor of the church. I could tell you that I am a father of three children. What am I telling you? Jesus is giving us these I am statements so that we will better know who Jesus is to us. And we're going to explore these I am statements through Lent. And as we do, we say, Jesus, tell us who you are. I mean, how often? I remember a time Early on, when I started chasing after God, I said, Jesus, tell me who you are. And what did I do? I started going to church again. But beyond that, the greatest change was I started reading the letters, the words in red for myself. Jesus, who are you? Allowing these words to shape my understanding of Jesus, allowing these words to shape our understanding of Jesus and to shape us into who Jesus wants us to be or to become. And we have to note that as Jesus tells us who he is, our question will be, will I follow his voice? See, that's always the question beyond just getting into the Word of God. The next question is, will I follow his voice? Will I follow what God is trying to impart to me? Now, as mentioned before in the scripture reading, Jesus has just healed a man who was born blind. Born blind. The Pharisees question him about how he was healed. And he tells them, this young rabbi, Jesus, put mud on my eyes and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam, a sacred pool of water in Jerusalem for the people of Jerusalem. Now, the question is, did he follow Jesus' voice? And the answer is, yes, he did. And he was healed, born blind, now can see. And so as the Pharisees question this man, they're trying to understand, how did this happen? And the man simply repeats what I just told you. Jesus put mud on my eyes, asked me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash my eyes, and I could see. They even questioned his parents, is this your son? Because we can't believe something like this. This monster miracle could take place. And after, the parents said, yes. They said, how could it happen? They said, ask him, he's an adult. The last thing the Pharisees do to this man is basically reject him and say, get out. We don't believe you. Jesus then encounters some Pharisees who are standing nearby as the blind man has come back to him and has believed in him as the Messiah and begins to worship him. And Jesus tells these Pharisees that they are spiritually blind. Spiritually blind. And then he begins to tell them. He begins to tell them what they know to be true, but with a new twist on it. This is the kind of mental picture. This is the kind of mental picture that Jesus is drawing for them as he shares this parable. He speaks about a sheep's pen, a gate, and a shepherd. Pens like this were often used during the winter months, which is when Jesus is now talking to the Pharisees. A solid structure like this one, as high as 6 feet tall, to keep predators away from his sheep, to protect the sheep from danger and harm. Look at that picture as I read these words from Jesus. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes out ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, in this story, in this parable, who is the shepherd? Who is the shepherd? Jesus. And the sheep listen to what? His voice. One of the sheep in this case, as Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, I believe, is the man who was just healed and now rejected by those same Pharisees. He has come in to the sheepfold. He has listened to Jesus' voice. It is the sheep that has heard the shepherd's voice and has followed him into the pen and now worships him. It is this voice that calls to us today. Kim, will you follow me? Joe, will you follow me? Eric, will you follow me? Donna, will you follow me? Ron, will you follow me? It is this voice that calls to each of us today to follow him. Now, what strikes me about the response of the Pharisees, read it with me. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling him. But the Pharisees did not understand. Sometimes I feel like a Pharisee. I read scripture, I read the letters in red, and I'm like, what are you saying, Christ? So sometimes I'm just like a Pharisee. I don't understand exactly what Christ is wanting me to do. And other times, I do know what he is wanting me to do. Jesus makes it clear, at least here, and at least to me, when you read through this parable, he makes clear who the other voices are. Who might you believe represent the thief and the robber, the stranger's voice in this parable? The Pharisees. The Pharisees. Sure, a blind man who may have been following them all his life has been shown the truth of who Jesus is and has believed Jesus in what he says. And it seems like Jesus is stating to the Pharisees that they are the thieves and the robbers in this parable. The strangers, the strange voice, whom the sheep runs away from. Often we think of thieves and robbers as intentionally attempting to take something that's not theirs. Often considered mean or despiteful people. And to me, it's not that they're really trying to steal something like our allegiance from God so much as they're not truly seeking who God is, thereby pointing others in a different direction than to Christ. They're stealing people's eternity from them. By essentially saying that Jesus is not the life-giving Messiah he claims to be. Don't follow this guy. They're saying, don't listen to Jesus and don't follow his voice. So Jesus, being the good guy that he is, clarifies himself and says this. Read it with me. Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Jesus is the one who states what? I am the gate for who? The sheep. The door which you must pass through. Do you understand that kind of emphasis on must pass through? You see, in school, there are certain classes you must take before you can advance to the next class. You remember, you have to take basic math before geometry, geometry before trig, trig before calculus, on and on and on. American history before what? Government. Shop one before shop. It's just a progression of the way it works. You get the idea. There's no advancing until one requirement has been met, or prerequisites have been met before you can go on to the next. And Jesus is saying to pass through the gate, you must hear the voice of the shepherd. To pass through this gate, you must hear the voice of the shepherd. And the shepherd will then what? Open the gate. That you might do what? Come in. Right? I would say most people who come to church regularly have heard the voice of the shepherd, and the shepherd has opened the gate for them, and they have walked through the gate. They're already living or beginning to live into eternity with God. I would also say there are some sheep that are still wandering. They may come to church every Sunday, but they're still wandering, thinking they're following the voice of the shepherd. But history is replete with the David Koreshes, the Jim Joneses, or the other pharisaical leaders whose voices have taken people not closer to Jesus, but further away from Jesus. A path from the one true God. This is why we must make sure we are listening to the right voice. And I hope that you go home and you check me on this. You read through these scriptures for yourself and say, yeah, I think what he was saying was right. Or, huh, where did he get this from? And then give me a call or send me an email. Or flat out, man, I think he was wrong. And call me out on the carpet. I'm okay with that. Because I want to be following the voice too. And sometimes, just like you, I might get it wrong. Actually, I might be just tacking to get closer, and I'm testing you to see if you'll call me out on the carpet, right? But remember, once you hear the shepherd's voice, you must follow the shepherd's direction. That's just the way it works. If you want to be like Christ, you have to follow Christ's voice. You see, too many people hear the shepherd, but there is very little change in the direction of their life. The shepherd says to forgive, but we hold on to grudges. The shepherd says to unconditionally love, but we withhold love, waiting until we get some benefit for ourselves. The shepherd says to give yourself away, but we withhold our time, our talents, our money, our prayers, and our witness until we feel like it. You know, I'm glad Jesus didn't do that to me until he felt good and ready. Now, the thing about the gate is this. A gate keeps the sheep protected from outside threats. And many shepherds themselves, when making a makeshift sheep pen in the summer grazing time, they themselves would become the gate. Without a shepherd, many sheep would be lost. And Jesus then goes on to say, to clarify not only that he is the gate of a safe pen, he goes on to say this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd does what? Lays down his life. Keep reading with me. Lay down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. Jesus continues, then a wolf attacks and the flock and it scatters it. A man runs away because he is the hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. We have to note that Jesus is not just the shepherd. He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Lays down his life for the sheep. Notice it doesn't say his sheep. It says the sheep. Jesus lays down his life for all the sheep, so that they might come to him, trust him, and follow his voice. When they hear his gentle voice calling their name, they will willingly follow. For many, at some level, you have placed your trust in Jesus as the good shepherd. And I celebrate with you, and in this moment, we affirm, Jesus, you are my shepherd, my good shepherd. Say that with me. Jesus, you are my good shepherd. If you're taking notes, right next to that in your notes, write amen. Big words, big letters. Oh, forget that. Just say amen with me. Amen. Amen. This should be a daily ritual for you to say thank you, God, amen and amen, for sending Jesus the good shepherd for me, that I might have a voice to follow in this world that is filled with voices. A steady, loving voice that has my best interests in mind. Sadly, this last week in the news, at Douglas High School in Florida, they experienced a tragedy when a former student came on Wednesday afternoon and killed 17 other students and teachers. Their lives lost. Their future possibilities ended. And in the midst of this tragedy, a football coach who was also a security guard, Aaron Fies, exemplifies what Jesus is saying here when he says, "The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." You see, Aaron didn't run from, but toward where the shooting was occurring. And it is reported that he shielded three other students who were being fired upon, losing his life for theirs. Jesus could have avoided the cross, but he chose to go to the cross, laying down his life for his sheep. One of the things that strikes me about that is Aaron and the student who did the shooting, they were listening to different voices. And that causes me to ask the question, what voice is most prominent in my life today? Is it the voice of God? Am I in the Word? Am I listening? Am I reading and listening? Or is it the voice of the world saying, "Hey, I've got a get-rich scheme for you. It'll work. Swamp in Florida," right? Or is it somebody saying, "You know what? You should really hate that person because of what they did to you. Don't forgive them." What voices are you listening to today? A former White House aide spoke last week, about how Vice President Pence stated that God talks to him. And then a commentator on a morning show was commenting on how the Vice President listens to Jesus. And she said this, "It's one thing when you talk to Jesus. It's another thing when you say he talks to you." And then she added this quip, "That's called mental illness, if I'm not correct. I would rather be mentally ill in the eyes of the world and be following the voice of the shepherd than to concern myself whether the world thinks I'm mentally ill or not." Do you understand that? If you're going to listen to Jesus' voice, then listen to him. And realize that there might be other people who are going to come into your life and are going to say, "What? What are you going to say? I'm just saying. I read the Bible and God speaks to me through the Bible." "Well, that's strange." "Not really. I mean, I find God engages me through the words. He speaks to my heart. He impresses upon me how I should live my life to bring him glory. How by living in Christ, I can avoid all of the stuff that people have to deal with today." Don't you want that? Don't you want to be set free from the things that bind you? Too many people are looking in all the wrong places. And they need us to say, "Yeah, God speaks to me today," and to be okay with that. It's not easy. I remember when I got close to the Lord in my early 20s, my family thought I had jumped off the dock into the deep end. I said, "What are you doing?" "I'm following the voice of the Good Shepherd. And this is what the Good Shepherd is saying to me." Funny story. Wasn't funny when I was going through it. But one by one, each of my siblings started attending church, and each of them started really listening for the voice of God. And it made a difference in their life. Will you be a difference maker? Will you trust Jesus when he speaks to you? Will you? Doesn't sound like you're saying yes to me. Yes, Pastor, right. To be forearmed is to be to be forewarned is to be forearmed, right? So if you know people are going to kind of maybe do that. Really? Or, huh? If you're ready for it, then hopefully you're ready to say yes. He sets me free when I follow his voice. And who doesn't want to be free? Will you trust the voice of the Good Shepherd? Yes or no? Yes, I will trust. Say that with me. Yes, I will trust the voice of the Good Shepherd. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you that you do speak to us today. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that as you continue to speak to our hearts this morning, that as we respond to you through song, that we will trust you. That we will renew our trust in you to lead, to guide, to protect us through this thing we call life. That we might be glorifying your name. And Lord, that you would receive all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name. And if you use us, Lord, to bring someone else closer to you, praise be to God. Amen.